Hello and welcome to the last recorded podcast of the year. Today we will discuss softball's season-ending loss, but a great run by the girls. Also, NBA Finals preview. The Stanley Cup is underway as well. A great series between the Las Vegas Golden Knights and the Washington Capitals. And we'll wrap it up with our producer question with Mike Garafa. Let's do it. We're excited. Let's go. Back and we're in a rhythm here. This is two podcasts in a row, and I think we're back.
Definitely, we are back. We are better than ever, and the Colts Corner podcast getting ready to wrap up another year. It's been a great year, boys, but we're not done yet. We still got 20 to 25 minutes of recorded sports still going.
I gotta say, I miss this. I haven't done this since about February or like early March, and I missed it a lot. Very, very happy to be back.
Yeah, Brian, we tried to get you out of your AP English language class last week, but it's an important class, you know.
I would have left definitely. I didn't see the text until after. That was an unfortunate situation, but it happens, and I'm glad to be here this week.
And yeah. You know, guys, I'm really grateful for the opportunity you've given me this year. You let me come on the podcast, let me help out. It's really been an outstanding opportunity, and we hope for a great year next year to make it even better.
Way to be, Graf.
Big things coming.
Oh, yeah, a lot of big things coming. We'll talk about that more towards the end of the podcast. And hopefully we're shooting for a end-of-the-year live podcast on next Thursday, June 7th. So we're hoping that all comes together. But today we're going to start off with girls softball making a deep, deep run all the way to the Suffolk County Championship game with a tough loss. But still, an outstanding season for the girls.
Yeah, tough loss, 2-1 loss at Longwood after winning at Comac, who, if I'm not mistaken, was the number one seed in the
tournament. Correct, they were.
But the girls have nothing to hang their heads on, you know. 20-6, that's an unbelievable season. Shouldn't be upset at all. It's a great run. And, again, future's looking bright. Great year. Hoping to build on that next season. And got to say, great seasons from Jillian Weinstein, Michelle Kaplan, Caleb Perry. We're working on an article. Brian and myself should be out within the next couple of days, so look out for that. And again, great season for the girls. Congrats, guys.
It's really been an amazing year in terms of just Colts sports since the beginning of the year. I mean, we've been having outstanding season after outstanding season, and hopefully next year will be even better for when we're going to be even more on top of the game, and it'll be exciting to watch.
Yeah, I have to say, with the softball team, it sure seemed like they had a game every single day. Playoff game after playoff game after playoff game. And I know that they came out of the loser's bracket, and that means that they had to play those extra games, and they did it. They had nothing to hang their heads on. An excellent run by the girls.
Yeah, the girls really impressed, making it all the way to the Suffolk County Championship. They would have had to beat Longwood two times to win that Suffolk County Championship and then move on to the LIC, which is actually tomorrow, I believe, 6:30 start. Longwood will be in that game.
Also, quick shout out to the boys tennis team. They did suffer a little upset early in the playoffs, but again, great season for the boys. I hear my friends already talking about states next year, so shout out Keish.
A lot of big things to come for the tennis team, and a lot of seniors leaving on this softball team, especially starting pitcher Jillian Weinstein, the number 3 hitter. She's really the glue on this roster. And
to Sacred Heart?
Yep, she is moving on to Sacred Heart. And a lot of seniors departing, but I think there's a lot to come for this group in sport and Colts sports next year and us next year. We'll have more coverage. Obviously, junior year is a tough year. Tough year for us. We had a lot going on, and we still managed to get a lot of stuff done, a lot of improvements, especially on the broadcasting side, and next year we'll be right back on top of it. We're going to be even better, and we're really looking forward to a great year. Shout out to some of the girls, of course, winning some awards, like in baseball. They also won some awards, a lot of all leagues. They're actually at all divisions and all counties, so congratulations to them. Moving on to the professional level in the NBA, we have a four-peat coming up in the finals. It's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors for the fourth time in a row.
It's actually the first time since 2017 that they've faced off in the finals.
And oh, really?
And only the fourth time since 2015. So it's very
impressive. Wow. That,
great man. Stats.
But
great.
I got to say, incredible. Doug, your tone on that, you didn't seem so pleased
I'm
with
not.
That. But I got to say, I'm really not that upset. You get to see who I think is the greatest player of all time, LeBron James, go up against the Warriors, which is the best team in NBA history, for the fourth year in a row. I mean, get another crack at him. I don't think it's going to be much of a series. My official prediction happens to be Warriors in five. But it just proves that, you know, this Cavs team wasn't as talented as past teams. We established that last week.
Not as talented.
Embarrassingly
bad.
0-82 without LeBron.
And we've established it throughout the NBA season. But what LeBron does, people are saying this is his greatest accomplishment, and it's definitely up there. And he does. So Kevin Love will be back tonight for Game 1. That should be a big help. Wasn't there for Game 7 in Boston, but obviously I think we should wrap that one up a little bit.
First of all, that's huge. Kevin Love returning for Game 1 tonight, and that's big. Although he does play a soft game underneath, I still think it helps, especially with his shooting and his offensive game. And he's still a star on the court. Whatever you want to say, he was an all-star this year. And he's got the experience, and he just has a different presence on the court. And I think he'll be solid in this finals.
Yeah, in my opinion, though, him being there tonight maybe makes them lose by 20 instead of 40. Like,
okay.
Let's be real. This is the first game. It's in Golden State. I agree with you, Ben. I think it's going to be Warriors in five. But I don't think tonight's going to be close.
Well, yeah, LeBron is 0-2 against the Warriors this year. Two tough losses, but he has performed well.
I expect LeBron to still get his triple-double, probably totally. 40-plus points, you know, the usual LeBron day. But I don't think it's going to be much of a game tonight.
Well, the thing is, basketball and probably football, too, are the only sports where, really, if you have, like, a two-peat, three-peat of the same teams in the championship, it's probably one of the only sports where it's actually really still exciting to watch. I mean, if you're watching baseball and you've got, like, the same two teams back-to-back years, it's like, all right, this is boring. But basketball, I mean, it's still intense. It's still fun to watch. And it's still going to hook you no matter what because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, I'll take Yanks-Mets. 4 years in a
row. Oh, yeah,
that's pretty exceptional right there.
I'll take any Mets
just
4 years
wanna,
in a row.
Exactly. Just want to touch up a little bit on Game 7 of that Cavs-Celtics, and then hopefully we can move to just a little bit of that Rockets-Warriors game.
Mm-hmm.
But that Cavs-Celtics game, you got to give credit to Jeff Green. Really showed up. And what a ride it's been for him. He had open-heart surgery a few years ago, and no one knew if he was ever going to play again. And look where he is in the NBA Finals. May not be the most talented guy on the floor, but he has been helping LeBron. He definitely helped him in Game 7. And Cleveland needs to look for those role players to continue to step up if they want to have any chance of winning a game or two or any aspirations of winning the series against Golden State.
Just to quote Harry Rose from 1994 Rangers Eastern Conference Game 7 win against the New Jersey Devils, Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby, and it's Mount Vancouver. LeBron has one more hill to climb, and it's Mount Golden State Warriors, and I think this mountain might be just a bit too big, especially with the lack of production from the rest of his teammates, but Green was great in Game 7, and I think Love's return, it's nice, but I don't know if it's going to get the job done.
He's an all-star, shows up on the road, there's that. He may not be the most loved guy, but it's definitely a big addition.
Loved guy. That was good.
Clever, Ben.
Pun not intended there. But quickly about that Game 7, Houston, Golden State. It was the same deal in Game 6. Houston gets off to a lead. The third quarter Warriors are just something else. Steph Curry really turned it on. And it's just wild what they do. They're too deep and just too talented, really, for Houston, especially without Chris Paul.
Yeah, I believe that when Steph Curry is hitting those shots, like when he's off the dribble and creating his own shot like that, and it's going in consistently from three-point range, with Kevin Durant on that roster still and Klay Thompson being able to spot up at any time, I think that there's not a more lethal combination almost in all of sports.
You really took the words out of my mouth.
It's perfect. When you're watching the Warriors there, it's just amazing watching that. And honestly, I think that with the bad third quarters that the Rockets had,
mm-hmm.
and the 0-for-27 shooting streak from 3-point range, I have to say that falls on coaching. I mean,
well, Ariza did not hit a three all night, correct?
Correct. But a lot of bad shots from Houston. Yeah, they weren't driving to the basket, but that's their offense. It's ISO ball. For me, they're not that fun to watch because it's not a lot of movement,
mm-hmm.
not a lot of plays. Just put Harden in ISO, put Chris Paul in ISO, put Gordon in ISO, and it's just dribbling, usually ending up in a poor jump shot. But sometimes, obviously, they're going to score a lot of points. But most of the time, as we saw in Game 7, wasn't really a good shot.
Yep.
And, yeah, but I think as a coach in that situation, you have to change the offense. After the first 27 missed threes in a row, you gotta
switch
something up.
They were just heaving them up.
They don't change.
You got to switch something up.
D'Antoni even said he's not changing the offense. That's how it's been all year.
You live by the three.
You got to the Western Conference Finals like that. I don't know if you can really change anything up. I mean, maybe, but at the end of the day, you got to knock down your shots, and they just didn't.
Yeah, it was a rough night. I mean, what Doug said. I mean, if you're doing the same thing all year, you don't want to just change it up at the very last minute. But yeah, I think you're definitely right, Brian. They needed to do something, and they just didn't, and it just didn't work out.
It was similar to Game 7 with Cleveland, where the first half, the role players really weren't producing at all, could not make a shot. And once we got into the second half, they started to emerge and make some clutch shots down the stretch to help LeBron. But one more point, CP3, once he went down, the series was over. Right down the drain.
Everyone knew.
Right down the drain. It was easy. Golden State was winning it in seven. And then those third quarters you were talking about, where Golden State's so lethal, Chris Paul led the Rockets in third quarter points. So once you took him out of the lineup, it was pretty much right down the toilet bowl for Houston and onto the NBA Finals for Golden State.
And I really think that you can miss your superstar. You can miss Chris Paul like that. But the record this season without Chris Paul, was it 15-9, I think? I think that was the number. It wasn't great. Anyway, it was very good with Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. So that offense that they run with the isolation game, the heaving up threes that usually can go in with Harden, where he does that fake and he gets the guy and he jumping and he draws the foul.
The garbage.
That shot right there, I don't like that shot, but that shot right there. And I think that all works when you have Chris Paul out there. I think that's the reason why. And then when he's not out there, I think that's why D'Antoni needed to make a coaching adjustment. You can't expect to do the same thing when Chris Paul's not out there against probably one of the best teams of all time. All
right, just one quick thing before we move on to hockey.
Go ahead.
All the Warriors fans complaining about Andre Iguodala being out, just suck it up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, four All-Stars in your starting lineup is enough for you. But you'll get Iguodala back soon, I promise. And it'll make you guys even better than you already are. So sorry about that, Warriors fans. Devastating loss. Really is.
So game one tonight, Cleveland and Golden State. In Golden State, we'll move on to the NHL, where it's the Las Vegas Golden Knights and the Washington Capitals. Game one and game two are now complete. Correct.
Right. So 1-1 series. Last night, Braden Holtby made the save of the year.
Wow.
If you haven't seen it, Google it up. It was crazy. Tuck on the Golden Knights off a pass at a wide open net. Holtby just stuck his stick out there and knocked it down. It was an unreal save. One of the best hockey saves I've ever seen. And Washington was able to steal one on the road, take home ice advantage. But I got to say, about home ice, Vegas' crowd, unreal. The atmosphere, electric.
Absolutely electric.
And that brings me to something else. Last year, we said we were going to go to Nashville because the electric crowd there. And Vegas sounds pretty fun, too.
We have to get to Vegas. Rashudi, we got to get this in the budget.
Go to Vegas.
Nashville-Vegas trip for the podcast.
We're all going to Vegas.
It's a fun place.
I like it. I like the idea.
Rashudi likes the idea.
I have certain individuals that I can talk to. If you're listening, you know what to do.
Not sure he could hear that, but he says he has some connections. He's going to get us to Vegas.
Well, he's going to make it happen.
Basically a senior promise trip at that point.
Yeah, he's going to get us to Vegas. So we're going to make that happen. So game one went to the Golden Knights 6-4.
Great hockey.
It was one of the better hockey games I've seen all year.
And a new deal. A new deal was presented to me. It's a quid pro quo. It's articles for plane tickets. Articles. You write me articles. I get you tickets.
The articles are coming. That's a good deal for me.
We're churning them out.
Solid deal.
Churning them out.
Let's churn them out.
It's a machine starting now.
Let's go. So we'll go back to game one. One of the best hockey games I've seen all year. Really just great and really fun to watch.
They were going back and forth. There was a shootout. Not a shootout, but shootout as in high score.
Exactly. It was really, really exciting. Yes. And game two did not disappoint. As we spoke about, Alex Tuck robbed literally 4x6 open net for him to shoot it in, and he couldn't lift the puck as Braden Holtby stuck his stick out and took it out of the blue paint and covered it up. with about under 2 minutes to go. So that would have tied the game and probably forced overtime.
Yeah,
so
just an unreal save there.
Really unbelievable what's going on there. So we got a tie series 1-1, and we're going to Washington. That game is Saturday at 8 o'clock. So
I think the whole world is rooting for Vegas, right? Except for the D.C. area.
Except for Russia. Russia, too.
Right.
Ovi.
I do want to see Ovechkin win something. He's had such a great career. He deserves it, but I do want to see.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who think that an expansion team making the Stanley Cup Finals or any finals is a bad look for the league. See, I understand that point, but for me, I just completely disagree. I think an expansion team, especially one in Vegas, after everything that's happened in that city this past year, them making the finals, them being just a bunch of misfits, there's no other way to put it, that teams didn't protect them about a year ago. So to be where they are today, it's definitely a nice underdog story, easy to root for. But I also will say that there are people root for Ovechkin to win something, like you just said, Ryan.
Yeah, also, the NHL did help out this Vegas team. It's not like the past expansion teams where you have to work through the draft, mostly really young free agent players, where here they had one unprotected player from each roster. And if you think about it, if you're on an NHL roster or if you're close to making a roster, you still have to be pretty good, right?
You're still one of the best hockey players in the world.
Exactly.
It's
you're still exceptional.
Compared to the rest of the pool of the NHL players, it's different.
It also had to do with contract free agency. So some of these players like Marchessault or Riley Smith or
James
Fleury.
Neal. Or Marc-Andre Fleury.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So these guys, either the contract wouldn't have fit with their team, or they just didn't have a spot.
In the case of
Fleury, of course. But like Marchessault got a huge pay raise, actually. So there you go. That contract may not have fit into Florida's plans. So these guys who are very high up talent-wise still got put onto the Vegas squad. So the NHL did help them out, but it is a great story. As you said, the misfits. It's great to see Vegas get in there and contend for a Stanley Cup championship. And Ovechkin, man, do I hate that guy. But really, you love to see the guy's heart and the passion he plays with. He's really elite. One of the best, probably, I'd
one
say
of the best of our
I'd era. Say he's the best player in the league because he plays in all three zones. Great defensively, real physical presence. You do not want to get hit by that man. And, of course, he's an elite scorer.
And that's honestly where I think he differentiates himself from Crosby.
Yeah.
Like those are the two best guys of our generation. It's the Ovechkin versus Crosby debate. And I think Ovechkin has the advantage without question.
Well, talent-wise.
He's got to add that hardware this year.
Right. Exactly. If you think about it.
He needs to add that.
Crosby has a couple nice Stanley Cups.
I'm not necessarily saying that Ovechkin has had the better career
Correct.
Or anything. I'm saying he's without a doubt, he owns him in the toughness category.
Correct. So we touched on school sports, both finals. Now we're going to move on to our producer question, Mike Garofa. What do you got?
Well, so right now, just first of all, before I bring anything up, obviously just baseball is just the only thing I can have any knowledge about.
Yep.
So right now I just want to get a quick thoughts right now on what Mike Trout's doing this year. He has been absolutely phenomenal. He's on pace to hit 54 home runs. He's currently hitting .303, but in the last week he's batting 370, and he's just been absolutely phenomenal. And I think he's on pace to win yet another MVP.
Well, I got to say something real quick about Trout. I've been watching baseball for as long as I can remember, and I've seen the Jeters. I've seen all these talented guys, toughness, character, all leadership, all these qualities. Mike Trout is the best baseball player I've ever seen.
Yeah, I have to agree. He's like a different breed of person. He's the way he leads that team. I mean, honestly, if you take Mike Trout off the Angels, yeah, they've got some good players, but I think they'd be absolutely just destroyed. They would have nothing to do because
Agreed.
They don't have the leadership. And he just the way that he hits and the way that he fields, he's just a different breed.
And there's never any drama.
Just
go out
just
there, play, and he's not flashy.
Jeter-esque.
That's what I texted him.
It's Jeter-esque.
So me and Ben, we text back and forth talking about Yanks baseball and just baseball in general, sports. And he texts me, he's like, Mike Trout's the greatest player I've ever seen. And then I add just the non-flashiness that he plays with, the grit. He goes out there and he just does the job. I've just never seen something like that since almost Jeter and Judge now, of course, doing similar stuff like that. But he just goes out there, he respects the game, he plays the game hard, and he's damn good at it.
That's really what I think makes a difference, the respect for the game. It's something that you have seen in Jeter, and you really don't see much in football. Like,
yeah,
you saw it with
Peyton
Manning.
Agreed.
But like that, and that's something that so many people lack now. I feel like James Harden in basketball has no dignity for the game, like no respect for the game. with the way he chucks up those threes, when he tries to get the fouls, he tries to draw all those sneaky little things in there. I feel like it's just with a lack of respect for the game, and that's something that's really lost now. And I really think Mike Trout does that better than almost anyone.
Yeah, in sports, if you have respect for your game, you do your job, you lead by example,
yep,
and you have the character, and you're a star, that's all you need.
One question for you. What do you think about, in terms of respect of the game, the fouling in basketball?
The hack of Shaq.
It's really the hack of Shaq. But in terms of respect, you were talking about it. I feel like that goes along
right,
the line.
That's just another one of those things that it's almost trying to cheat the game.
Well,
it's another one of those things. It could be a good strategy. It can actually help you win some games, but there's a point where it's just you need to have some more dignity.
Well, morally, as a fan, you don't want to see that. But as a coach, if the rule's there for taking, you're doing it.
That's
true. Steve Kerr was doing it, and it was helping him out in that series. So.
The problem is there's really no way to prevent it. It's tough. It's like, what, you can't foul
you
the
can
same guy three
rules,
times?
Right.
What's the rule?
Do you remember last season in the NBA? It was the player on the Thunder, Roberson.
Andre Roberson.
Every single time he came down the floor, and he kept missing the free throws.
Like, I understand. Can you put in a rule where you say you can't foul the guy three or more times?
I don't think that's the rule. It just happens when they get into the bonus and they have the ball or even off the ball and they foul and they're going to the line. They're shooting two.
What's your ruling then? What can you implement?
I think you call it a technical.
But how do you know?
I think it's a judgment call. I think that's the only way you have to do it. You have to rely on the refs to make the right call sometimes.
There's got to be a human aspect in sports. It has to be. It can't just be by the book. I don't think there's a textbook rule where you can just put it in and be like, you can't hack these guys. You can't do that. We're not going to send him to the line. It needs to be referee, human aspect, discretion. I mean, there can be a rule. A rule only help the problem, but it's not all you can do. There has to be the human aspect to the issue involving something like this.
I get what you're saying, but at the end of the day, the rule book is like exactly what they go by. If you tug the jersey in the NFL, it's a pass interference automatically. If you tap the hands, if you tap the gloves in hockey, it's a slash. It's like very – it's got to be – people want – the full answer. They want the exact answer. They don't want this iffy.
It's the same
where,
problem. Yeah, exactly.
Where the thing is where, like, if you're in finals game 7 and he's doing the hack-a-shack and you don't know if this is a foul or not, it's up for grabs, you know?
It's like the Jesse James call. That was clearly a catch. But according to the rule book, it might not end up being catch. So it's one of those things like where you might end up needing to add some humanity to sports.
Yeah, the NFL is definitely one of those sports that could definitely use that human element involved with the rule book.
So I want to go back one thing back to what we were saying. Back to the Trout thing. Also, another thing you could think about that is Bryce Harper. He could also be considered one of the best players, but his attitude has absolutely killed just the way people see him. I mean, honestly, I think Harper and Trout are just about on the same level in terms of skill. Right now, Harper's having a better season than Trout, but I think he's overlooked because of the fact that Harper's just not doing as amazing. I mean, he's leading baseball in home runs. He's got 18, and he's just really an outstanding player, but the way he treats the
game,
he doesn't respect the game enough. He just thinks that he's better than everybody else, and I think that's the reason why he's a little overlooked.
All right, so nice add into the podcast there by Garofa.
Attaboy,
Garofa. Pretty good topic to discuss about. And as always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Achudi, Dr. Catapano, and the administration. The Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday. Achudi says LeBron in 6. I hope you're right, Achudi. I really do.
I hope LeBron in 4. Let's see that.
And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside our always reliable producer, Mike Garofa, Brian Flatow, and Douglas Duca. We'll see you next year.